Okay, this morning we're going to be in the second chapter of Luke to begin with. We're actually going to start in the third chapter of Matthew after this. But in the scriptures we have, or let's put it this way, in the world we have a great deal of confusion because of tradition with respect to the events that took place at the birth of our Lord. Now, in Luke's Gospel, we have the actual birth of our Lord. It was attended by shepherds, and they were watching their flocks by night. So we know that lambing in Israel, lambing virtually everywhere, is in the spring of the year. Okay. Then we know from our studies in Luke that Elizabeth was 3 months pregnant when Mary visited her. And when she visited her, at that point in time, Mary had been impregnated by the Spirit of God. So that when Elizabeth had the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped within the womb of Elizabeth, and then they rejoiced together and so forth. They spent time together, and then just before the birth of John the Baptist, then Mary returned home. Okay, so with the birth of our Lord, then, attended by the shepherds, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Perfectly proper for shepherds to attend the birth of a lamb. And we have the shepherds, and because of the enrollment for a taxation, there was, the people had to travel to the cities of their birth. That's why Joseph and Mary, both born in Bethlehem, had to go to Bethlehem, and that's where they were enrolled. The taxation didn't take place at that point in time. Okay, and after that enrollment, or while they were there, there wasn't any room for them. And so then there was an announcement by the heavenly host to the shepherds, and they said to come. The baby had already been born, and they arrived at the manger where they were. And that's the birth of Christ. Then we went over into the book of Matthew, and we saw that the Magi came to Jerusalem. And when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that they announced to Herod when they had seen the star. When they saw the star, that's when the birth took place. And then they followed the star and came to Jerusalem, and the scribes and the scholars got together to tell them, Herod wanted to know where the Christ was to be born, that I might come and worship him. Very deceitful statement. So that I might come and kill him, because he was a usurper king. He was an Idumean, okay? As a consequence of that, he had been appointed king by the Roman government. So then when they had this bit of information, then the star reappeared. And the Magi followed the star to Bethlehem, and they entered into the house. And the text tells us, in Matthew's Gospel, when they entered into the house, they found the mother and the young child. Okay, so then after they had given gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's why they presumed that there were three Magi. Nobody would travel with that kind of wealth over the Fertile Crescent, which was constantly, the people who traveled along there always had to travel in a great company to protect themselves against the thieves. Later on in history, Mohammed and his bunch of cutthroats, were continuing to be thieves along that route. Anyway, that took place, and so they arrived, they found out, they came, they worshiped the baby, and then being warned of God in a dream, they departed unto their point of origin another way. And then when Herod saw that they had not brought him word, then he diligently, because of the time that they had first seen the star, killed all of the male children from 2 years old and under. In the meantime, the angel of the Lord had warned Joseph and Mary, and they fled into Egypt. And they remained there till Herod died, and Herod died shortly after his command to destroy the children. In other words, God took us alive. Okay? So when they were warned or alerted that Herod was dead, they returned. And when they came to Jerusalem, they found that Archelaus, who was the son of Herod, he was reigning in his stead. He was as vicious as his father. So they continued on to Nazareth. And that's why the scripture says of the Lord that he was a Nazarene. Okay? So, with that then, we know that while they were in Bethlehem, I'm kind of giving a recap, but while they were in Bethlehem, on the eighth day after the birth of the Lord, it was required that all of the male children be circumcised. And typically, if they were that near the temple, they would go to Jerusalem, and the circumcision would take place there. So we can assume that they went to Jerusalem for that. And then 33 days after the birth of a male child, the woman that has given birth has to offer two pigeons or two turtle doves. Some places in Scripture, they translate that just turtles. And what was it? Simon Birch? Was that the movie? Yeah, they were having a Christmas play, and there's a bunch of turtles on the stage, because people don't realize that it's turtle doves, not turtles. And you see how all kinds of error creeps into the scriptural account. Okay, so then they returned. When they saw Archelaus, they continued on. Now, if we go back to Deuteronomy 16:16, and in fact the whole chapter of 16th chapter of Deuteronomy is about three feasts in the Jewish year that were required attendance for the faithful or the devout Jews, the devout males. So, whether Mary attended with Joseph, we can't say for sure, but we would know that Joseph had to come to Jerusalem every year, at the time of Passover, at the time of Pentecost, and at the time of Tabernacles. Now, those three feasts outline for us the entire ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it does it, or from his first advent, the church age, the second advent, and the establishment of the kingdom. Because in the first three feasts that were in the first part of the year, in the spring of the year, they were to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month and examine that lamb until the 14th day of the month, and the whole congregation of Israel was to kill that lamb in the evening. That's Passover. Then after Passover, and you don't learn this in the New Testament, you learn this in the Old Testament back in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. It tells us, okay, when you have Passover, you have the Passover itself, no matter what day of the week it falls on, it's always on the 15th day of the month of Abib, which used to be the first month of the year in the Jewish calendar. Now they take the seventh month and they call that their new year. So they're completely out of sync. Okay, but the first month of the year is in March or April, depending upon the moon and I can't think of the term right now, but the spring equinox, I think that's the correct term. Okay. Anyway, so then we have that. So with Passover, lambs taken on the 10th day of the month, it's examined till the 14th day of the month, and the whole congregation of Israel has to kill their lamb in the evening, and then they're to enter into the house. But before they enter the house, they take hyssop and scarlet wool and sprinkle blood on the doorpost. And this is what they did when they were in Egypt. And God promised, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Okay. So then Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So we know that he was, presented himself in Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. That was not a Sunday. It was a Saturday. And it was lawful for him to travel the distance from Bethany we learned this from the first chapter of Acts. Bethany was a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. And that bit of information is found in the first chapter of Acts. Okay? So it was perfectly lawful for our Lord to enter Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And then the next day, made his triumphal entry. Well, basically, in the Jewish calendar, the day begins and ends at sunset. But in John's Gospel, where he says the next day, John used Roman time like we do, so he counted days from midnight to midnight. That's why he says the next day. But Jesus actually was anointed for burial on the 10th of the month, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the 10th of the month, and then came into Jerusalem. Each subsequent day, he was taken on the evening or the night of the 13th, or the night of the 14th, he was arrested and beaten, tried, and convicted. And then he was hanged on the cross on the 14th day of the month, 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Okay. And so when we count things biblically, it's much different than what people do traditionally. And I think the devil has something to do with that, to always add something pagan into the truth of the Word of God. So we have Good Friday. Well, Jesus promised before his death that he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So there aren't 3 days and 3 nights between Friday towards evening, which would would be the beginning of Saturday at sunset. So Saturday night, Saturday day, Sunday night, and then, we don't get to Sunday day because the women arrived at the tomb while it was yet dark. It hasn't dawned on the first day of the week. So tradition, again, interrupts the truth with respect to our Lord. And, Jesus gave the Jews the specific sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish. And we have to remember, we don't know what that fish was. People try to make it a whale. It's not whale, it's fish. Okay? And it was a prepared fish. So God prepared the fish to be able to swallow Jonah and for him to be in that fish for 3 days and 3 nights, until even the fish couldn't stand Jonah and he vomited him up. Okay. So, what tradition says and what the Scripture says are two different things. And, people don't study to show themselves approved unto God as they should. So when Joseph and Mary then returned after they were warned of God in a dream, they went on to Nazareth. And then we pick up the account in the 41st verse of the second chapter of Luke. And it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So it says parents, so both Mary and Joseph traveled every year according to the commandment, the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, three times in a year. Now, I mentioned that those three times of the year. Passover represents the first advent of Christ, and Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Then, when you're counting days, Christ was sacrificed. Then after that, day upon, or the night upon which the lamb was eaten, was observed as a Sabbath, no matter what day of the week it fell on. And then after that Passover Sabbath, the regular Saturday Sabbath came, and the next day is always first fruits. So when we count that biblically, then Jesus was in fact in the grave 3 days and three nights. He was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday night at sunset. You know, Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. And at sunset is the beginning of Jewish Sunday, he rose from the dead. And then when the women came to the tomb while it was still dark, they found that he was risen from the dead. So we're contrasting the death of Christ with the birth of Christ. And so we have, traditionally, we have Christmas that's on the 25th of December. Lambs are not born in the middle of the winter. Okay? Lambs are born in the springtime. Shepherds don't normally have their flocks in the field in the middle of winter. They do that in the spring when the ewes are dropping their lambs to protect the lamb from being trampled by the other sheep, rather than in a sheepfold where they would be all close together and those lambs would never survive. So, biblically, putting biblical evidence together with historical evidence, we see that there are some of the errors that have come in. And I don't know who St. Nicholas was, apparently a saint in the Roman Church, who gave gifts to good little boys and girls. Who has a right relationship with God because of what we do? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, I don't mind children celebrating Christmas. I don't mind children celebrating Easter with Easter eggs and bunnies and all that type of thing. But we need to know the difference between the truth and the error. You know? And over in the book, 12th chapter of the book of Acts, we have the word Easter in our King James Version. But when we look that up in the Greek text, we find it's the Greek word Pascha. And Pascha is the Greek word for Passover. You know? So the Passover, you know, I think as Peter wanted to be in Jerusalem for Passover, but they translated it, it's not even a translation. They just inserted the word Easter, because Easter was a very popular pagan feast. And the Roman churches, when they were doing missionary work amongst the Anglo-Saxons, it was such a popular feast, they wouldn't come to church. They'd go to the worship of the goddess of spring. You know, that's why we have Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. You know, fertility. You know, and so again, we've mixed error with truth. And this mixing of error and truth. Okay, then the next feast in the Jewish year that the Jews had to attend was counted from, you had Passover, then a regular Saturday Sabbath, and the next day, and then you would count seven full Sabbaths. So 7 times 7 is 49, and the next day. So Pentecost was always on Sunday. And on Pentecost, they would take two waved loaves baked with leaven, because in the church, none of us are sinless, leaven in Scripture represents sin, and the church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles, and it's in the middle feast of the year. So you have three feasts at the beginning of the year in spring. Middle of the year, you have the feast of Pentecost, and then the next feast that comes along is the Feast of Trumpets. And at the Feast of Trumpets, the Scripture says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air at the sound of the trump, or the trumpet. So trumpet announces the first resurrection. Now, we have a week of the 70 weeks of Daniel that has to be fulfilled. So we had 69 weeks fulfilled to the first advent of Christ. Then we have the church age sandwiched in between. And the next feast will be when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So in the Feast of the Jews, the Lord outlined the whole plan of redemption, first advent of Christ, church age, second advent of Christ, and the final week of Daniel, so that during that final week of Daniel, the Jews are going to be back in Jerusalem, and they're going to have their temple, and that temple is going to be rebuilt, more than likely, by the Antichrist. And when he comes to dedicate that temple, after taking 3 years, 3.5 years to build it, he'll come to dedicate it. The false prophet will require that everybody worship the Antichrist as the Christ. Okay? And the Jews are told in the 17th chapter of Luke, when they say to do that, get out. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? Well, they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. And Lot was actually part of the governors of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were told to get out. And he took his daughters and his wife. Did, was told, they were all told, don't look back. Yeah. Get out in haste. This speaks of the Jews fleeing Jerusalem during the when the Antichrist declares that he's God, and they won't be able to buy or sell without taking his mark. Now, what would that mark be? Well, we can see technology advancing and advancing. You know, in Greek, the Greek letter for six is a key, which is an X, you know. An X on her side, stand it up, it's a cross, okay? And then we have three of them, you know. Now, in Greek, you wouldn't say key for 666. You would use the other, you know, six and 60 and 600 or 666, okay? But in the Roman church, every Roman church has how many crosses? Three. One a prominent cross, and on either side, two lesser crosses, which speak of the two crosses upon which the thieves, you know, what's going to be the sign of the Antichrist? You know, three crosses. Or, you know, what in the forehead or in the hand? Now, whether they implant some sort of electronic device that can be scanned, who knows? You know, that's going to take place during the Great Tribulation period, at a time when we're not going to be here, because the trumpet will sound that announces the first resurrection, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Then the Antichrist is going to come to the earth, and he is going to convince the Jews that he is the Christ. He's going to allow them to build. And since Satan is the head of every religious system in the world except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity, all the religions of the world will join together. They'll be unified. And they will worship the beast. Okay, at the midpoint, when the temple is finally completed, then he'll demand that they worship him. And that's when the Jews are to flee Jerusalem, and it says they're going to go to their place. Now, a lot of so-called scholars, a lot of foolish Christians have been hiding tracts and Bibles and all kinds of stuff in the desert in a place called Petra. Petra was a pagan temple. Do you suppose God's going to preserve the Jews in a pagan temple? No, they're going to be somewhere in Arabia, in their place. Okay, they were there for 40 years, and God preserved them, provided all the water for them, all of the manna for them, and in the evening, quail for them for 40 years. Okay, so we come to the next feast of the Jews is the Day of Atonement. And the Scripture speaks of the Day of Atonement. Yes, you know, the second of the next feast, and the Day of Atonement, the high priest would come out of the temple after making a sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And when he would stand before the people, Israel, coming out of his temple, so it speaks of the second coming of our Lord. The Lord will come out of his temple in heaven and stand before the nation of Israel on the earth. And when he does that, he brought salvation to the nation of Israel. And so, you know, the Lord will do that at the at his second coming, at the end of the 7 years of the Great Tribulation period. Okay, then he's going to establish a kingdom upon the earth for 1,000 years. Goodness, AOC said we're only going to last another 9 years. Now, we have to have 7 years of great tribulation, and then we have to have 1,000 years, in which at the beginning of that 1,000 years, the Antichrist, or the devil, I should say, will be placed in, he'll be locked up for 1,000 years. And there, according to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, there won't be anybody in Jerusalem, there will be people in Jerusalem, Jews, who have considered that Jesus might be the Christ, but they entered the kingdom based upon their works. And so these people, at the end of the tribulation period, are going to be deceived when the devil is loose a little season. And then, of course, Christ will establish his kingdom for 1,000 years, and then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, we've been dealing with the birth of Christ, you know, and we had to have Christ come into the world so that he could be born as a man, but not have the sin nature of man. That's why he had to be virgin born. And that's why we read back in Isaiah that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which according to in Matthew's gospel, you know, spelled with an I, spelled with an E, Old Testament, New Testament, but it's the same word. It means God with us. So the ministry of Jesus Christ is about God with us. And he didn't begin his public ministry until, if you look over at verse 23 of the third chapter of Luke, it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Now, we're looking at verse 41 in the second chapter, and this is at one of the visits that they made to Jerusalem after they'd come back from Egypt, and they would come from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And this one happens to be when Jesus was 12 years old. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, in those days, people traveled with families, cousins, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, whole clan. And it wouldn't be unusual to be able to travel and not know whether your child was with you or not. Okay? Be with the rest of the family. Okay? So, So they, in verse 44, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And when they found him not, I read that, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. These are those people who were the scholars in Israel. Yeah. And both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. This is a 12-year-old boy. Okay? And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now, was Joseph the father of Jesus? No. He was his foster father. He wasn't his father. And notice how he answers her. We would think of this as sass. No, this is truth. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me, and wish ye not, or do you not, that I must be about my father's business? Now turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 9. And in verse 4, we'll read the beginning of it. And as Jesus passed by, in verse 1, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was, if you had any malady, if you had leprosy, if you were blind, if you were crippled in any way, the Jews counted that you had that malady because you were not a true keeper of the law. Well, nobody was, because the Scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. And who did sin, this man or his parents, and that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned. He's not saying that he was sinless, but he doesn't have this problem because of a personal sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. That'll be during the great tribulation period. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. You know? And we see the feasts of the Jews were connected with the moon and so forth. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man and told him to go wash. Now, so Mary kept these things in her heart, you see. Jesus was about his father's business. His father wasn't Joseph. Joseph was his foster father. Now, let's go back to Luke and pick up at verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, as if Joseph was his father. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with men. Now let's go over to the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew's Gospel, as we can see, Jesus, this was on his 12th birthday. He would begin his public ministry at age 30. John the Baptist was a forerunner. He was 6 months older, and John the Baptist would have begun his ministry also at age 30. So 17 and a half years after this particular event in Jerusalem, we have the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, in those days, chapter 3 of Matthew, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent. Now, the Jews were required to keep the law. they said when they were in Egypt, you know, they were delivered by the Passover lamb from Egypt. And then after that, they had a really tremendous revival on the other side of the river. And then about 40 days later, they arrived at Sinai. And God spoke the word of God to them, spoke the law to them. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So then Moses went up the mount. They took two tablets of stone. He went to the mount to receive the law. In the meantime, they got a little bit antsy, and they said, we don't know what in the heck's happened to Moses. They told Aaron, make us a god. Yeah. And so he fashioned a god of the bull god, Apis, which was worshipped in Egypt. And every one of the false gods of the Mediterranean world was worshipped with sexual immorality. Homosexuality, bestiality, it was a Woodstock of the greatest order. And so that's what they were doing. And when Moses on the mount with God said, it sounds like there's war in the camp. And God said, this is not the sound of war. Yeah. And so he came down and he carried with him the two tablets of stone. So he was on the day for 40 days, a mount for 40 days and 40 nights, had not yet delivered the law other than orally to Israel, and they'd already broken everything that was on the commandment. So he took those two tablets of stone and threw them to the ground and shattered them. Yeah. And then later on he took two others up. And the second tablets of stone, first tablets God wrote with his finger upon the tablets of stone. Second one, Moses was required to write the law on those tablets of stone. And those are the ones that ended up in the Ark of the Covenant. So all of the, for 2,500 years, we didn't have any law other than not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then after Cain slew Abel, and then Lamech slew a man in self-defense, then a little bit later on in the 9th chapter of Genesis, capital punishment was instituted. And there was only two laws, not the eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and after the flood, then capital punishment. And under capital punishment, that is biblical capital punishment, the individuals who witnessed the murder are the ones who put the individual to death. And I guarantee you, if we did it that way, there wouldn't be people being put to death so easily. Of course, we keep changing it. Man doesn't want to, if a man kills a man, he doesn't want to put him to death. We make up all kinds of reasons and so forth. Now, in the 3rd chapter, he says, in those days came John the Baptist, saying, change your mind, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now let's go over to the 40th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 40. Now, if you're familiar at all with Proverbs, Isaiah is what I want. I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 40. Okay. Now, if you know anything about the book of Isaiah, is everything is condemnation, condemnation, condemnation up through the 39th chapter for the Jews' failure to keep the law. Okay? But then as we come into the 40th chapter, now how many books are there, or chapters are there in the book of Isaiah? 66. How many books of the Bible, Old and New Testament, are there? 66. Now, God is an omniscient God. He didn't have anything to do with the numbering, but he knew exactly how it would be numbered. So for 39 chapters, we have law and condemnation. For 39 books of the Old Testament, we have law and condemnation. Then we get into the 27 books of the New Testament, which are the final chapters of Isaiah. And notice what it says. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, I'll get it out, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sin. And of course, you know, we're going to have a changed relationship between God and Israel, at the end of the church age. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, this is John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How's it going to be revealed? In the person and the work of Jesus Christ. See? So, how does John the Baptist begin his ministry? He prepare ye the way of the Lord. And the same John, back in verse 4 of the third chapter of Matthew, had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. You could really basically say that John the Baptist, I'm saying this in a good ethical sense, not the bad ethical sense, he was a hippie. He had a Nazarite vow. From his birth, he never had his hair cut. When he reached puberty and began to grow a beard, he never shaved his beard. And so he ate locusts and wild honey, had a leathern garment, And his ministry was not a public ministry. It was in the wilderness because God had prophesied it, and Israel had to go out to hear what John had to say. And so he went and then went out to him, Jerusalem, in verse 5 of the third chapter of Matthew, and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in Jordan for what reason? Acknowledging their sins, confessing their sins. So Israel was, the ministry of John the Baptist was saying, you're condemned by the law. Change your mind. And then he's going to announce the ministry of Jesus Christ. And when we go over in the John's Gospel, we see John the Baptist saying, behold whom? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What were the Jews to do every time they failed before the law? They were to bring an appropriate sacrifice. A lamb, a goat, pigeons, a bullock, various animals for the various types of sins that were committed, but without the shedding of blood, there was no covering or remission. Okay? So that was portraying the one sacrifice for sin forever by our Lord Jesus Christ. The law was never given to show man how to live. The law was given to show man that he couldn't live that way. And Jesus said, with respect to the law, the law says thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looks upon a woman to lust after in his heart has committed adultery already in his heart. Now, I don't know many men with a certain level of testosterone that haven't looked at someone and lusted after them. You might get some of these strange guys that they might do it. They look at some guy, lust after him. But the bottom line is, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Unless you women think, oh, well, we're much better off than the guys. That says, if you hate somebody, and without a just cause, you've committed murder already. Where? In your heart. Yeah. And some of the feuds that go on between women, you know, I wore a new dress and she didn't even notice. or some silly such thing. You know. There's not a just man. I'm not picking on anybody. You know, because I can't stand up to the law either. None of us can. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. Back in the judgment of Adam and Eve and the judgment of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. He promised that again to Abraham, that of Abraham's seed, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. Turn over to the book of third chapter of Galatians, and with this we'll close. Galatians chapter 3. See, this is a book that, you know, it's not about history, but it contains history. It's not about science, but it contains science. It's not it's about redemption. See? And the theme of redemption is from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. 1:1, what will he? Yeah, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, then what happened? Because of the fall of Lucifer, that original creation, and the earth became without form and void. And then we see that God says, let there be light. And when he says, let there be light, then we see 6 days of recreation. Yeah. And at the end of the 6 days, okay, now if a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day, that represents the 6,000 years from the recreation of the earth to the present time. And then we have to take the period of time when Israel didn't observe Sabbath. So we're going to go beyond 6,000 years. And we don't know exactly when, because only the Lord knows the day or the hour. But in this third chapter, we talk about Abraham. Now to Abraham in verse 16, and to his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not, and to seeds, with an S on it, as of many, that is of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the seed of the woman is Christ. The seed of Abraham is Christ. The seed of David is Christ, portrayed all the way through. The animal sacrifices were made. They could never take away sin. But they acknowledge that, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. And that's portrayed all through the New Old Testament. We come to the New Testament, we see the birth of Christ. You know, we see Herod trying to destroy Christ 2 years later. We see, then, we jump 17 and a half years to John the Baptist, his ministry, crying for the nation of Israel to change their mind. You know, and many did. And then many didn't, you know. And so they suffered the judgment of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. This is one book. It's God's book. The author is God. He used human writers. But even Daniel, at one point in time, became ill from the things that God revealed to him to write. And God told him, shut the book, Daniel. It's not given for you to know. You know, it'll be revealed in the latter days. And so we're in those latter days. We can go to the book of Daniel. We can understand in this age what Daniel wrote, but didn't know what he was writing about. This is not man's word. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And as we continue studying the birth of Christ, his bar mitzvah at age 12, and then 17 and a half years later, the announcement of the Christ by John the Baptist, and then the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he dealt with the Jews on the basis of law and condemned them utterly, and then ultimately died in their stead. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.